Good morning. It is good to be here to open up God's word together, and we pray that the Spirit of God will be our teacher. This morning, I just want to encourage you with a simple truth about God. You might be discouraged with life. You might be finding church difficult. There might be strains in your marriage or relationships with family or people around you. For a few minutes this morning, I want you to take your focus off your stresses, pains, and hurts. And I just want to point you towards Jesus. Let's remind ourselves of his steadfast love for us. Let's remind ourselves of the Creator God who made the sea and the land, and that he listens to us, despite our faults, when our hearts cry out to him for help. He hears, he acts, he saves. There is always hope in Jesus. Jonah was a lousy prophet. He was supposed to be God's messenger to a wicked people, warning them to repent before they are destroyed by God. But in Jonah's mind, the destruction of his enemies is exactly what he wants. He is set in his ways. In his narrow understanding of God, in his view, God does not show favor and compassion on those kind of people. God belongs to us, not them. I have God figured out, defined, neatly boxed, and I'll take him out of my pocket when I have use for him. And when God tells his messenger to do something that doesn't fit with his understanding of God, well, how would you react? How does God react? How does Jonah react? Jonah reacts by burying his conscience, closing his eyes, folding his arms. And when that does not get rid of the weight of God's message, he runs. He strategically organizes his life and travels so that he does not have to deal with this alternative view of God. And the only remorse he seems to feel is looking at the sailors whose lives are at stake in the middle of the storm God stirred up to get through to him. Jonah still does not pray to God on the ship. The sailors, after praying themselves, asking God to forgive them for drowning Jonah, toss him into the raging sea. And that's where our story picks up. So let's start reading Jonah chapter 2. And we'll start at the last verse of chapter 1. So Jonah chapter 1 verse 17. Jonah, I always remember as Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So it's around there somewhere. Let's read Jonah chapter 1 verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All of your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This morning I want to start with this. The genre of the book of Jonah is a comedic satire, so I thought a comic strip might be appropriate this morning. I've been waiting for a long time. So I hope it illustrates the importance of the timeline in Jonah chapter 2. In verse 15 of chapter 1, the sailors threw Jonah overboard. Jonah, when floundering and sinking below the surface, still won't pray. Jonah only called out to God just before he drowns at the bottom of the sea. So that's what this is illustrating here. He's still thinking, well, it's probably not time to pray yet. And it's only when he gets to the very bottom that he finally decides, actually, I think I might pray. Verse 17, after Jonah called out to God in his distress, immediately the Lord provided a huge fish to save Jonah. And then, verse 1, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So that's the timeline. Day 1, Jonah in the fish. Day 2, Jonah in the fish. Day 3, Jonah is still in the fish. Then verse 1, then Jonah prayed, what is recorded in chapter 2. So, in summary of chapter 2, if we look at that, verse 1 is a summary of Jonah's experience in the sea. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. That's it in summary. In verses 1 to 7, Jonah retells the events of 3 days previously, how he had sunk to the bottom of the sea. After he had sunk to the bottom of the sea, he had finally turned to God, and God immediately rescued him from the bottom of the sea by extraordinary means. And it's not till verse 7 that we have a record of Jonah remembering to pray. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. And verses 8 and 9, finally, is Jonah's response of grateful praise to the God who rescued him. So let's look at Jonah's situation. Jonah recognizes God's hand of judgment in his circumstances. Verse 3, you hurled me into the depths. Your waves and breakers swept over me. Yet in his floundering in the water, in his sinking below the surface, he still does not turn to God. He is still running away from God in his heart. And as he sinks deeper into the depths, his life is fading away, unchanged, unrepentant. Verse 5, seaweed wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. And verse 7, my life was ebbing away. The path Jonah had chosen had come to an end. God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah chose to ignore God, to stubbornly run from him. And this is where he had ended up, at the bottom of the sea. With his last breath running out, he is guilty, shamed, and under God's judgment. Jonah even says, I have been banished from your sight. Jonah is without hope. He has run out of road. He is at the end of his rope, about to die in guilt and condemnation. But with the last flicker of consciousness, Jonah remembers something. He might feel like he has been banished from God's sight, but in verse 4 we read, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. And verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Ah, come on, Jonah, it's a bit late for that. You've well and truly burnt your bridges. That ship has sailed. Do you really think God will look with favor on you after the life you've lived? You're so stubborn. Even in the middle of the storm you caused, with hardened sailors repenting around you, praying, your heart remained close to God. Even when floundering in the sea, you still would not let God in. You can't expect anything from God now. You're getting what you deserved. And besides, what can anyone do for you now? It's all over. There's no point in praying now. It's too late. The purpose of the book of Jonah is to challenge our idea of what God is like. In Jonah's mind, he was a Hebrew prophet. God's favor and compassion was limited to himself and his kind of people. He felt entitled to a God he understood, one who was there to sit in judgment and punish people who were not his kind, one who was there to support his life choices and provide for his needs. God had overstepped the boundaries Jonah had put in place for God. He was encroaching on Jonah's personal life, expecting Jonah to give up his attitudes towards others and his say in how he lived his own life. And when we look at Jonah dying at the bottom of the ocean, do we not quietly think, at least I'm not as bad as that? God shouldn't answer Jonah's prayer. He doesn't deserve it. Well, this is what I want to challenge you and encourage you with this morning. God's compassion does not have boundaries. With his dying breath, Jonah turned to God and asked for help. Verse 1, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. God answered miraculously. God answered immediately. Now, at this point, we could start talking about the species of animal and speculating how a person can stay alive in the belly of an animal. The Bible doesn't claim to be a scientific book, but it is factual. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus referred to Jonah's time in the belly of the fish and likened it to his own 3 days in the tomb. In the same way that Jesus rising from the dead 3 days after dying was a miracle only God could make happen, so the rescue of Jonah 3 days swim from land by means of a fish was a miracle only God could make happen. And we think about God's response as immediate as well. We might ask, was Jonah's prayer genuine? He was only praying as a last resort. God heard. God accepted. He rescued miraculously and immediately. We know that Jonah's change of heart was short-lived. He soon went back to his own ways. We might think it was not worth God saving a person like that. He's too much trouble. But God is not like us. That is not how God thinks. That is not how God loves. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. It took Jonah 3 days in the belly of a fish to figure this out. Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from their hope of steadfast love. Jonah understood that precisely because he clung to his worthless idols, he was in effect turning his back on the fullness of God's steadfast love. Jonah's idea of God, one who was there to favor and to bless the Hebrews and destroy his enemies and problems, well, that was idolatry. putting his idea of what God should be in place of the holy and true God? Do you limit God's influence, his say, in how you live your life? It took Jonah hitting rock bottom to let go of control of his own life. But Jonah tells us in verse 8, if that is how you live, you forsake your hope of steadfast love. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, Jesus says, will find it. God demands total obedience from his prophet and his disciples. And by letting go of control of his own life, Jonah placed all of his hope in God, the God of compassion and steadfast love, even for people who don't deserve it. Our hope this morning is that despite our shortcomings, we will abandon our lives and truly cry out to him in prayer. The God of compassion and steadfast love will save us, even though we do not deserve it. Jonah concludes this chapter in verse 9 with the words of a song that we sometimes sing, "Salvation belongs to our God." If salvation belongs to God, then it is God, not us, who get to decide who is in or out, who is good or bad, who is worth God's time, and who should be disregarded. So the challenge and encouragement this morning is that there is always hope with God if we cry out to him. God's compassion does not have boundaries. If you're unsure of your position before God this morning, perhaps you've made decisions a long time ago that you are now weighed down by, with no hope of things getting better. Or if no matter how hard you try to fill your life with busyness, you cannot shake the burdens in your heart. Like Jonah, even at rock bottom, turn your heart to God, pray to him, cry to him, look to Jesus. Salvation belongs to him. That kind of prayer does not meet the disdain or rejection of a God who says, "You've gone too far this time." God is full of steadfast love and compassion. That is the kind of God he is. He will act. He will rescue and restore. There is always hope with God. And if perhaps you feel sure of your position within church this morning, check your heart, that you do not disdain those people who think are not worthy of God's grace. God never gave up on Jonah. No matter how far we see someone stray from God's ways, never separate yourself from others thinking, "I am more deserving than they." God's compassion does not have boundaries. We're going to sing the words of that song now. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and honour. I hope these words have encouraged us this morning to look to the Lamb of God, to our hope. So let's sing these words together.
924.
Sorry?
Number 924.
924. That would help. Let's stand and sing this together. Our gracious God, you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and compassion. We come to you because any hope we have placed in ourselves and our efforts has failed. We have been slow to pray, but we pray now. If you heard stubborn Jonah from the bottom of the sea, would you not hear us, despite how stubborn we have been? Forgive us. Rescue us from our hopeless condition. Restore us. Give us hope in you. Salvation belongs to you. You give it freely to all who ask, without conditions of meeting a standard. May we love each other in this same way. In Jesus' name, amen.